Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Shkalim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Aaron Solomon, Le'iloi Nishmas Rabbi Cheskel ben Rabbi Yisrael.
Maseches Shkalim, Daf Tes Zayin. The Gemara tells us that Misha Nignaz Ha'oroin, when the Oroin was hidden away by Yoshio HaMelech, there were several other things that were hidden away together with it, and Chazal learned this from Psukim. One of the things that was hidden away was the Shemen HaMishcha, with which the Kohanim Gedolim, the Melachim, were anointed. And because of this, Chazal tell us that after Yoshio HaMelech, it was impossible any longer to have a Kohen Gadol who was Mashuach, B'Shemen HaMishcha, and therefore, from that point and on, at the end of the Bayis HaRishon and throughout the Bayis HaSheni, Chazal say that the Kohanim Gedolim became Kohanim Gedolim by means of a different mechanism called Merubah Begodim. This is learned out of Psukim, that a Kohen Gadol, by putting on him all of the 8 Begodim of the Kohen Gadol, can acquire the Kedushas Kohana Gedolim. It was because it was no longer possible to be Mesheach the Kohen Gadol B'Shemen HaMishcha, which had been hidden away by Yeshio. The Mechas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Zayin Oif Aleph asks Akasha. Mechas Chinuch asks that why wasn't it possible to make more Shemen HaMishcha? The original Shemen HaMishcha of Moshe Rabbeinu had been hidden away, but why wasn't it possible to just make some more Shemen HaMishcha? The ingredients, the recipe is given in the Torah, it's given by Chazal, and why wasn't it possible to just make some more and be able to be Mekayim the Din to Mesheach the Melech from that point and on, the Kohen Gadol, and why couldn't you just make more Shemen HaMishcha? So the Mechas Chinuch writes that it is apparent that since the Pasuk says on the Shemen HaMishcha, L'doiroi Seichem, so therefore, the Din of L'doiroi Seichem tells us that there was no mitzvah to make Shemen HaMishcha after Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe made one Shemen HaMishcha, one batch, and that was L'doiroi Seichem, is intended to last for all of time. And in Meila, there was no din and no yecholas, no ability to make any more Shemen HaMishcha. Of course, Chazal tell us here in the Yerushalmi, and the same is discussed by the Bavli and the Masech Tohirius in Tafir Aleph, that the Shemen of Moshe had a Haftocha, that it was Kuloi Kayim La'asid Lavoi, even though it was a small amount, relatively, it's Kuloi Kayim L'doiroi Seichem, all of it is Kayim La'asid Lavoi. However, it's hidden away by Yeshio, and perhaps I would think that you can make some more. Zokta Mechas Chinuch Nein, that there is no mitzvah L'doirois altogether to make Shemen HaMishcha. The only din was Loinitztav Herak Moshe, says the Mechas Chinuch, only Moshe had a tzivoy, and that Shemen is intended to last. There is no tzivoy after that. So if Moshe's Shemen is hidden away, there's no ability to make any more Shemen HaMishcha. The MS is that in the Brisker Rav, in the Kisvei, the Chedushi Agriz on the Mesech Krisa Staf, hey, we have the parallel Sugya. There's two parallel sugyas to the one here in the Yerushalmi, in Krisus Daf Hey, and in Horiyah Staf Yid Aleph Yid Beis. The Brisker Rav over there writes a little bit different. And the Brisker Rav's understanding of this inyan is based upon two lashonos of the Rambam. One Rambam is in the Perash Mishnayos Laharambam in Menachos, Perek Tes Mishnah Beis. And over there, the Rambam says like this, Lafisha HaKoyl Maskim in Zokta Rambam. Everybody agrees, She'ein Ois and Shemen HaMishcha, it's impossible to make any more Shemen HaMishcha, Ad sheyichle ma she'osa Moshe Rabbeinu. K'mo she'biyarti po'om, I explained other times, says the Rambam, that it's impossible to make more Shemen HaMishcha until the one of Moshe Rabbeinu was used up. In other words, the Mechas Chinuch, the Rambam understood that Yiyazelu L'dore Seichem is telling us that until Moshe Rabbeinu's Shemen is used up, it's no, there's no din, no yecholas to make any more shemen. Now, it happens to be that Moshe Rabbeinu's shemen never gets used up because the Gemara tells us, and it's here in the Yerushalmi and the Bavli in the two places, Hoyis and Krisus, that it's Kuloi Kayim, even Lo'asid Lavoi, it's L'derei Seichem. But theoretish, on a theoretical level, if Moshe's shemen would ever get used up, it's not that it's impossible to make any more shemen HaMishcha if Moshe's is used up. The Rebbeinu of Torah gives us the tzivu, he gives us the recipe, and you can make some more shemen. A bevibalt that as long as the original shemen is still around, it's still there's no mitzvah and no din to make any more shemen, so therefore, as long as Moshe Shemen is around, which means forever, is no mitzvah that takes effect on that. Over here, by the time of Yeshua HaMelech, for example, it's hidden away, but it's still around, it's still kayom, and in Meila, there's no din to be able to make any more shemen HaMishcha. This is how the Rambam understood it. The Rambam says in the Yad HaChazoka, in the Rambam, in the Yad, in Klei HaMikdash Perek Aleph Halacha Hei, the Rambam says, Umei Oilam Loi Nase Shemen HaMishcha mishcha acher. Never at any time was there any more shemen mishcha that was ever made. Chutz mizeh she'osa Moshe, except for this shemen that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Again, the Brisker Rav says it's apparent that the Rambam understands that on a theoretical level there was a yecholus and there would have been a din be'etzem to be able to make more shemen hamishcha. The Rambam tells us a historical fact. Umay oylam loy naaseh shemen hamishcha acher. Never was there any other, any more shemen hamishcha that was ever made aside from the one that Moshe made. Because be'etzem, the way that din was gegeben, the way it was given, there was a yecholus to make new shemen. But it happens to be metzius that the Torah tells us that Moshe ben Hashemen is going to last forever. And as long as Moshe ben Hashemen lasts, the mitzvah doesn't kick in to make any more shemen. So the Meila comes out that it's impossible for this din to kick in anymore, to be able to make any more shemen and mishcha ever at any point in time. And even now, when you don't have shemen and mishcha available because it's hidden away, still the mitzvah is not chal. It didn't take effect to be able to make any more shemen and mishcha. Be'etzem, in other words, the Brisker Rav's diuk, these are very sharp, nuanced diukim in the Rambam, it comes out from them a little bit different, anders from the language of the Mechas Chinuch and Mitzvah Kuf Zayin that we mentioned, because he says, lo nitztave rak Moshe, the whole tzivah was only given to Moshe. According to the Brisker Rav's diukim in Rambam, be'etzem, in the way the tzivah was given, the way it was given, you really could have that somebody later, at some later point in time, will be nitztave to make more shemen and mishcha. But it happens to be that tzivah only kicks in for the new person once Moshe Shemen is used up, and it will never be used up because it's kolei kayim, Chazal say, and Mela comes out that never will there be any new shemen and mishcha that will ever be made. Now, the Gemara tells us that this that Yoshio hid away the Oroin, which the other with the other things that were hidden with the Oroin, is found. Merumas in a pasuk in Dire Hayomim. The Yom Leviim Hamavinim Alachol Yisrael Hakadoshim Lashem Yoshio tells the Leviim Tnu Es Haroin Hakodesh Babayis Ashebona Shloim Ben David Melach Yisrael Ein Lachem Masa Bakosef. So that Yoshio tells them and he instructs them to hide away the Oren Kodesh in the special hiding spot that Shloim had prepared. And the Yerushalmi says, Omar Lohem, that Yoshio says to them, Em Goylohu Yimochan L'Bovel, because if the Oren will be hidden away, it will be exiled, will be taken to Golos and Bovel, Eina Tamachziyun O'Isay Oedlam Akoymoy, you will not any longer be able to bring it back to its Mokim, Eina Tamachziyun O'Makoymoy, so therefore, make sure to hide it away already now. The Lashon of the Yerushalmi is a little bit unclear. What does it mean that if it gets taken to Bovel and Golos, Eina Tamachziyun O'Isay Oedlam Akoymoy? Favos Nisht, you know, maybe the Yidden will get up and the Bayas Hasheni, like Bizoicha, to come up to build a second base of Middish, and they'll bring back the Oren from where it goes to Golos and Bovel. What's the pshat in this thing that the Yerushalmi tells us, Eina Tamachzir and Oisai Lemakoimboi? It is not clear the Meforshim have different pshatim. The Pnei Moshe understands that some Goyesh Melech is going to want it, and he'll take it for himself, and perhaps he'll never be able to get it back. So it's a practical concern that the Oren will never come back, he'll never be able to get it back. However, in the Korban that we find, that he says another pshat. The Korban Eidah writes that Yoshio was choishesh sheyeschalel kedushas ha'oroin biridos el bovel. That the kedusha of the oron will become b'chulol, it will lose its kedusha when it will go down to bovel. And this is based upon a concept that we find in the Gemara in the Bavli, the Dorm Daf Samach Beis, the Gemara based on a pasuk in Daniel, uvo ba paritzim v'chilaluhu, that the paritzim, the lawless, will come and they'll be mechalel it. So the Gemara says, the Gemara speaks of this specifically about the Klei Beis HaMikdash that Belshazzar, the king of Bovel, took for himself and used them for himself. And the Gemara says that Belshazzar was mechalel these Klei Beis HaMikdash and they lost their Kedusha. And that's this Yesoi that we learn from the Pasuk, Uvo Baparitzim V'chileluhu. So therefore, the Meforshim Stelitzu over here, that the Korban HaEidah understands that we would have that same concern with the Oroin in the Beis HaMikdash if it will be taken away by some Goyesh king and he'll take it away for himself. And it'll be a chilul of the Kedusha that will be chal. And a Meila, apparently, according to this pshat of the Korban HaEidah, Yeshua is concerned that even if they would bring it back, and will then want that the Gidden will have the Yecholus, they will be able to take back the Kalim or to bring back the Oren, but Afal Pikein, they will be able never be able to restore it, the Mekoymoy, to its original usage, because the Kedusha will have become Mechulo. This is a pshat that it says in the Korban HaEidah, Mechudish the pshat in the Yerushalmi. The pshat of the Korban HaEidah is miyusad really on two hanochas, on two assumptions. One is that the Kavanah Eidah is assuming that if the Oroin loses his Kedusha because the Kedusha becomes Mecholal, then they won't be able to be Makdishit Nochamol, to Makadish it again, and to restore the Kedusha to it. Because otherwise, what's the problem? Even if it becomes Mecholal, it's like anything else. You know, it's Mecholal. I mean, the other clay based on Mikdash, evidently, such a thing is a concern for that happening to them too. But you'll be able to have Kalim anyway. Either we'll restore the Kedusha to the Kalim, or we'll make new Kalim. And apparently, these are the assumptions that the Karman HaEda made, that one, we would not be able to restore the Kedusha to the Oroin, and two is that we would not be able to make a new Oroin to replace the old Oroin. That's what comes out of the Karman HaEda. And both of these assumptions of the Karban Ha'edah, that you can't replace the Kedusha on the original Oren, that it will be impossible to make a new Oren, we find in the later forum on the Masechta that they're Masig on this Karban Ha'edah, and they don't like what he says. In the Sefer Har Ephraim, in Masechta Shkolim, he writes over here, he brings down a machloikis between the Ramban, in his Hasogois to the Sefer Mitzvah Lo Rambam and Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, with the Megillas Esther over there, one of the Meforshim on the side of the page there, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and they are argue about whether it's possible to make a new Oroin if the old Oroin HaKodesh in some way gets ruined or unusable. The Ramban over there says Beferish, that if the Oroin in the Beis HaMikdash would somehow get broken, Chatz V'Sholom will get lost, the Ramban says it will be a mitzvah la'asayis achir k'midosai, it will be a mitzvah to make another Oroin and replace the original one, and this the Ramban says is certainly the case, that this is not just one Oroin. If that Oroin ever, Chatz V'Sholom, something would happen, you would just make a new Oroin. The Megillah Esther over there argues on the Ramban, and he says that there's no such thing as ever making a new Oroin. The original Oroin is the only Oroin Zokter, and never is there Shayach any kind of a Tzivoy, and therefore the whole Tzivoy of making an Oroin is not L'doyrois Zokter, because it's only Moshe's Oroin that has to last forever, and impossible, and there is no Tzivoy that should be gegeben to any future person to make any Oroin to replace the original. Zokt the Har Ephraim over here, Masech Tishkolim, he says he believes that the Ramban is the Ikor against the Megillah Esther. There's no real clear source of the Megillah Esther, and the Ramban is certainly one of the Gedolei Rishonim, and therefore, says the Har Ephraim, it would certainly be possible to make a new Oroin, even if the old one became Mischalel, and we can give it a Kedusha, a Mekadeshit. Like this, the Gemara tells us that Avoidoson Mechan Chosom, when you make Klei Beis HaMikdash, using it for the Avoido is Mechaneich them. So the Har Ephraim says, granted that there's no absolute actual Avoido in the Avoido's Beis HaMikdash, which is done with the Oroin, but that doesn't matter. All you need to have is the normal usage of the Keli, and in this case, placing the Luchois in the Oroin would be called, that would be Mechaneich Kadesh, the Oroin, and would have a Kedusha. Tashtetzach, I want to explain to Lake Tzu here, that the Avadi have to have Luchois to place them in the Oroin, that goes without saying. So for example, in the Bayas HaSheni, when the Oroin had been hidden away, and the Luchois were hidden away and didn't have any Luchois, of course he couldn't just make an Oroin and leave it empty in the Kodesh Koshin. It wouldn't have any Kedusha, it wouldn't have meaning. However, what the Har Ephraim is saying is, that if the whole concern would be, like the Karban Eda says, that you're worried that there will be a Chilul of the Kedusha, and you wouldn't be worried that you're not going to get it back if it goes to Golos. You're just worried about the Kedusha becoming Mischalo. That's not a problem, Zokter, because we go with the Ramban that you'll always be able to replace the original, replace the original Oroin with a new Oroin, put the Luchois in, and you would get a new Kedusha on a new Oroin. I would add that Be'etzen, if you look on the Megillas Esther there, you'll see that he also names on Bepshitos that there's no such thing as losing forever the Kedusha's Oroin, that it should be gone forever. He just says that there's a Haftacha that the Oroin of Moshe will be around forever, and nothing will ever happen to it. And it will always be usable and available when we would need it. And therefore, that's why he says that there's no mitzvah l'doyrois to make any new Oren, because the old one will always be around. Okay, when there's golos, the yidden are in golos. But whenever you need to make a Beis HaMikdash, it always will be that the Oren will always be around, will be around L'doyrois, and therefore it doesn't really seem possible, even according to the Megillas Esther, that the old Oren should Mischalel. It's true, it was hidden away, so it was inaccessible to the Yidden by the Bayas HaSheni, but that it should become Mischalel, and there should be no Oren at all, seems to be inconceivable and actually impossible, according to the Megillas Esther. Likewise, the Gvuras Yitzchok, over here in Masechta Shkolim from Rebbe Yitzchok Sorotzkin, brings down the Mikdash David on Kodshim and Simin Beis. The Mikdash David says that he would, Nemon, that he believes that when the Oroin was captured at the time of Eli, when it was Nishba and captured by the Plishtim, the Mikdash David says he believes it was actually Poka Kedush Asai. In other words, we would actually apply the aside of Uba Oba Paritz and Vechaluhu that the Gemara speaks of in the Dorim. And actually, the Kedusha did leave the Oroin at that time while it was captured by the Plishtim. Von deswegen, despite that, says the Mikdash David, when the Gidden got it back from the Plishtim and they put it into the Beis HaMikdash, at that time it was certainly able to regain its Kedusha that it had lost. The original Oron itself was able to, it didn't have to replace a new one. They used the original because it's possible for it to regain its original Kedusha, and the Mikdash David has two tzedotim about how it could regain the Kedusha, either placing it in its place. This will be similar to the idea that the Har Ephraim spoke of, and putting the Luchos into it, because presumably it's really all one idea. You put the Luchos into the Oroin and replace it back and put it in its place in the Kodesh Kachim, and that the usage, that's the Avidosan Mechanchosan for the Oroin, or the Mikdash David has another side, that since this Oroin had originally been made by Moshe Rabbeinu, it was the original Oroin, so therefore perhaps we should apply what the Gemara tells us, that Kalim She'osam Moshe Mishichosan Mechanchosan, that they had to be Nimshach B'Shem and Mishcha, to be smeared with the Shem and Mishcha in order to get a Kedusha. The Mikdash David is Mesupik about that. It could be what the Gemara means is that only B'shas Moshe, when Moshe is originally Makdish them, the Mashiach is Makadesh it. Afterwards, it doesn't take a Mashiach to Makadesh it. It's just a one-time thing, B'shas Moshe Rabbeinu. Or maybe, Zot the Mishnah David, the Gemara means that those Kalim that Moshe made of a big fall of time, if they ever lose the Kedusha, that's how they get the Kedusha back in the same way with Mashiachosan, Mekadshosan. He's Mesupik about this, the Mikdash David, but he is sure, he's quite certain, that Avada, it is possible to be re-Makdish, to Makdish Nochamo. Again, the original Oroin, and in fact, the Mikdash David says that this is exactly what happened B'shas Eli HaKoyein by the Plishtim, when the Plishtim captured the Oroin, the Kedusha left it, and then later on, when they got the Oroin back, they gave it its Kedusha Nachamal, they were Mekadish it again to Rick, when they placed it in the Kodesh Kodshim of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, says the Gevura Yitzchak, you see Mamish Beferish here in one of the Achroinim, that it is possible if the Oroin could become its Chal, it will certainly regain the original Oroin, could regain the Kedusha, and not like the Korban Eidah, who assumes that there's some kind of a big problem in the event that the Oron would get captured and lose the Kedusha. The main of these Svarim, the Har Ephraim, the Gevura Yitzchak, they nemon that the main pshat would be that of the Pnei Moshe, or a similar pshat like that, that it might be in some way that if the Oron gets taken to Bavel, that perhaps it would be impossible to bring it back. Perhaps some foreign king will take it for himself, and it would be impossible, unavailable to restore it back. Not the pshat of the Korban Eidah, that even if it got restored back, it would still not regain its Kedusha. Later here in the Omud, we have a big sugya, an important sugya of the Mashicha of Kohenim Gedolim and of Malachim, and the Gemara tells us a number of Yesoidos. These same parallel sugya is to be found at the Bavli also in Mesech Tohoriyos, Daf Yud Beis, and Mesech Tekrisis, Daf Hei, and the Achronim discuss various aspects of the sugya. One of the basic points that comes out of the Gemara, of course, is that the Shemen HaMishcha was used to be Mashiach, to anoint the Kohenim Gedolim and the Melachim under certain conditions, and then there's a Pashup Shat Shaila in the Chumash, which the Ramban discusses in Chumash in Kisisa, in the Perek Lamed Pasuk Lamed Gimel, that the Emes is that in Kisisa, and in the Chumash Bechlal, it doesn't really make 100% clear which people are supposed to be Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha. It just says that you're not allowed to shmir it, Asher Yitein Imenu Al Zor, V'Nichras Me'am of a Zor, cannot allowed to get the Shem and HaMishcha. But who is this stranger, this Zor, that can't get it? Who are the people who could get it? One thing that is clear, that the Torah tells us in Parashas Emor, is that the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha. That it says, V'HaKohen HaGadol Me'echov, Asher Yutzak Al Roishoy, Shem and HaMishcha, etc., etc. So we have a Parashas Pasuk that indicates in Parashas Emor that the Kohen Gadol gets the Shem and HaMishcha, gets Nimshach with it. But a Melech, which the Gemara tells us over here, and of course we have Sukkim and Tanakh that speak of this, that the Melech is Nimshach under certain conditions, and this is something which is not the Farish anywhere in the Chumash, that the Melech is supposed to be Nimshach with Shem and HaMishcha. The Ramban bavorns this point in Shmois and Perek Lamed, Lamed Gimel, and the Ramban says that what the Torah does tell us is that the Shem and HaMishcha cannot be placed, cannot be Nimshach onto a Zor. The shaila is, who is the zor, the stranger that's not allowed to get the Shemen HaMishcha, and who is the people that it is appropriate to get Shemen HaMishcha? The Ramban notes that in the Sefer Tehillim, in Peites, it says over there, Motzasi David Avdi, B'Shemen Kodshi Mishachtiv. B'Shemen Kodshi Mishachtiv. That posik, B'Shemen Kodshi, the Ramban says, that zikr a reference to the Shemen HaMishcha, like the Torah says in Pashuk Kisisa, Shemen Mishchas Koidesh Yezel Li L'doiroi Seichem. Li L'doiroi Seichem. That's Shemen Kodshi. Minor Shemen HaMishcha. Moi Shemen HaMishcha. That's a reference. And the Ramban says, you see clearly that the king and the Kohen Gadol, these are the two people who are not called a Zor. Anybody else, any other person, is called a Zor to the Shemen HaMishcha. But the king of the Kohen Gadol, these are people who are not called a Zor. And the Gemara tells us over here, in the Ushalmi, and in the Bavli, in the Krisis and Horius, that only Malchei Beis David are Nimshach B'Shemen HaMishcha. The Malchei Yisroel, on those occasions where they are Nimshach, they're Nimshach with a different Shemen, Shemen Apar Samoin. But Shemen HaMishcha is only for the Malchei Beis David. In the Gemara in Krisos, on the Fei, the Gemara makes it a little bit clearer, and the Gemara brings the Pasuk by David HaMelech when he's Nimshach by Shmuel HaNovi, so it says Hashem tells him, Kum Mishachehu Ki Zehu. So the Gemara Darshan from Zehu, Ki Zehu, that Zeh, Tohan Shemen HaMishcha, the Ein Ache, Tohan Shemen HaMishcha, only David and his Zaroi, the Zerah based David, they get the Shemen HaMishcha. Somebody else, the Malchi Yisrael, even if they have a din to be a Melech, Afal Pikein, they don't get any Mashicha B'Shemen HaMishcha. Now on this, we have a little bit discussion, a bit of a Chalukei Deyos in the Achroinim. The Meshech Chochma says in Shmois and Perek Lamed Pasek Lamed Aleph over there in Kisisa B'Shemen HaMishcha, so the Meshech Chochma says that the Ikar Yisoid of this, that the Malchei Beis Dovid get the Shemen HaMishcha and not the Malchei Yisroel, is not Miyusid only on this pasuk in Nach. In Bederech Klal, of course, we prefer to find that we have in the Torah lane, we have the Yesoidos of the Din, in which are the Raisa. The pasuk of Kum Mishachehu Ki Zehu is a pasuk that's in Nach. We'd rather have it that we have a pasuk in the Torah lane. And the Meshech Chochma says like this, that since the Torah says, Shemen Mishchas Koidesh Yezeh Li Lidoiroi Seichem, so one of the hairs, one of the ideas in the pasuk of Lidoiroi Seichem, Zok de Meshech Chochma is near the Kavanosoi al mi sheyuchal lihi moshech ledoiros. In other words, the Doiros Seichem goes on the person who's getting Nimshach, that his Malchus is able to be Nimshach and be able to continue ledoiros. Somebody who's able to continue ledoiros, erheis ledoiros Seichem, and that's the person that is a din to be Meshechem. Now, since we know, says the Meshech Chochma, that only Malchus based David is able to continue with Meshech Adoiros, Zaroi and Zera Zaroi and Ad Oil, these are the people who have fulfilled the Doiroi Seichem, and Meila, they have the Kiyum of the Mitzvah, the Nimshach Hashem and the Mishcha. Ma'ashein ki Malchei Yisroel, even if there's a king, and it's Kedin, the Eibishter said, for example, that he should be a Melech over the Malchei Yisroel, Afal Pikein, the Rambam tells us, the Meshachoma brings a Lashon of Rambam in Hilchot Melochim Perek Aleph, the Rambam says that any king for the Malchei Yisroel that becomes a king is going to be Tufsak HaMalchus, the Lashon of Rambam, that the Malchus is going to come to an end, because it's impact possible for anyone who isn't Mizera David, that his Malchus should continue for all of generations and for all of time. The Meila Zok the Meshech Chochma, that's the real Yesoid behind why only Malchei Beis David, the Nimshach Hashem and the Mishcha, not Malchei Beis Yisrael. And Bemis, that's what it means. So the Gemara says, Kum Mishachehu Ki Zehu, but David is Nivchar Ledoirois. He's the one who's Nivchar from the Ebishter, and the Meila, his Malchus is going to be for all of time. And the Meila, that's why he gets a Shemen HaMishcha and not anybody else, because anybody else is not going to be L'doiroi Seichem. So the Meshech Chochma, that's why Rashi tells us that Rashi and Tosfos increases Daf Hamed Beis, the Rashi and Tosfos both say a Chiddush, it's not Mefurish anywhere in Chazal, not over here in the Yerushalmi, and not in the Bavli, increases Sohirius, that Rashi and Tosfos say increases Daf Hay, that Shol HaMelech was Nimshach B'Shemen HaMishcha. Now this is not a Chlorazach at all, it's very unclear. The Gemara never tells us what Shol was Nimshach with. What you do have is the Gemara later on here in the Amud, in the Yushalmi, and the same in the Bavli, that it says that Shol was Nimshach bePach. Instead of being Nimshach bKeren, like the Malchus Beis Dovid Nimshach with, it says Shol was Nimshach with a Pach. That's by Chana. She said, Romo Karni Vashem. The Gemara, the Bavli elaborates a little bit, Roma Karni, Veloi Roma Pachi. Those who were Nimshach, Zot the Gemara Bekeren, so therefore they were Nimshach Malchus, and their Malchus was continued. Shaul and Yehu, that were Nimshach, those were kings of Malchi Yisrael, that were Nimshach by a Novi, but since they were Nimshach by a Pach, so therefore the Lashon of the Yerushalmi here, Hoysa Malchuson, Malchus Oiveris. It was only a passing Malchus. So it says in the Gemara, Klor, that the Shaul and Yehu that were Nimshach, they were Nimshach with a pach, as opposed to with a keren, but the shaila is which type of oil was used to mesheach them. And Rashi and Tosfos increases both the chiddush. They say that Shaul was Nimshach not with the lesser shemen, the shemen aparsamoin, which the later Malchi Yisroel were Nimshach, but Shaul, since he came before David HaMelech, before David was chosen altogether, so therefore Rashi and Tosfos say that Shaul was Nimshach b'shemen HaMishcho. Zok the Meshech Chochmo, that Vibalt, since at the time that Shaul was Nimshach, was not yet chosen that David HaMelech was going to be chosen, it wasn't yet determined, and at that time it was still possible that Shaul would be the one whose kingship would last forever, his children, his descendants, and descendants of descendants, and Meila, Shaul wasn't excluded from the Pasuk of L'Dere Seichem. That's why Rashi and Tosfos say in Krinsis that Shaul was Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha. This is the Pshat of the Meshech Chochmo. In the Brisker Rov, in the Chedushim in Krisos and the Hayamid Beis, he says a little bit andish, a little bit different pshat. Biskirov doesn't focus on the pasuk of L'Dere Seichem and doesn't understand that it's a question of whether this Malchus could extend for all of generations. Rather, the Biskirov says the following Yisoid. Biskirov writes that we find in just a few dinim in the Torah that the Torah made them subject to a future determination. This is we find, for example, by the Yerushalayim, by the Mokom HaMikdash, by these places the Torah says, HaMokom the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim are referred to in the Torah as the Mokoyim Asher Yivcha, the place that the Eibishter is going to select. And that's how we find that in Tassant Zach, the truth is that generations after the Yidden got into Eretz Yisrael, it was finally selected and determined that Yerushalayim and the Mokoyim HaMikdash, that these are going to be the Mokoyim of Kedushas Olamim. And Be'etzim, until then, the determination, the decision wasn't even made. And yet, once it was made, it was an absolute Din D'Oraisa. Why, Zok the Biskirov? Because these dinim are subject in the Loshon Hakro to the Loshon of Mokoyim Asher Yivchar, and therefore they're subject to a future determination. The exact same thing, says the Brisker Rov, is true about the Melech. Soim Tosim Alecha Melech Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Boy. Kum Techois, that when the Torah gives us a din Melech, it tells us that it's going to be subject to a future Bechira that will be made by the Eibishter. This future Bechira eventually was made when the Eibishter was Boyche B'David, and the Brisker Rov brings a Pasuk, the Yivchar B'dovid Avdoi. That means the selection, the Bechira, which we were mitla tolavakoi, we were waiting, so to speak. The Pasuk itself was awaiting this Bechira, Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha Boy, so that was made and the selection was made for David. Vayivchar B'dovid Avdoi. The Biskarov brings the Mechilta in Parshas Boy, Ad Shaloi Nivchar David Ru'uyen Kol Yisroel, and until the Bechira was made on David, it was Roy that any Yid could have had this thing, this Malchus. Misha Nivchar David, once David is selected, the Bechira is made on David, Yotzu Kol Yisroel, then all of the Yidden are excluded. So the Biskarov says that after David is Nivchar, it's impossible, this is the way he understands it, impossible for any other person, any other king, even though you can have a din of a Melech on somebody else. Yeravam was given the din Malchus by Achi Ashiloini al Pi Hashem, and the same is true of Yehu. Aber von deswegen, it's impossible for anyone to be an Ikor Melech outside of the Malchay Beis. Biskarov says that the din Meshicha, B'Shem and HaMishcha, is only on the person who has an Ikor din Melech, to be an Ikor Melech, the primary Melech, and a Melech, it's only possible to have that after the Bechiras David, to have that only on David Vizaroi Bulvad, and not on anybody else. So the Mashain came before David's Bechiras, so then we just quoted the Mechilta, Ad Shaloi Nivchar David, Ru'uyin Kol Yisroel. So the Melech, the time of Shaul, it was possible that Shaul would be able to be the Ikar Melech, which he was at that time. Shaul was the king of a Gans Klal Yisroel, and therefore the Melech, Shaul certainly did have a din to be Nimshach, or with the Shemen HaMishcha, the way Rashi and Tosfos both speak out in Krisos. Now I want to point out that the Emes, this thing that the Biskarov is going with, and the Meshach is going with, they go with the Rashi, the Tosfos increases, and other Rishayim, that they say that Shaul was Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha, he came before David, and there was nothing excluding him from being Nimshach with the real Shem and HaMishcha, not like the later Malchi Yisrael, who Nimshach, like Yehu, that they were Nimshach B'Shem and HaParasimoyim. This thing that they're saying, Chotz, that it's a Rashi, and it's a Tosfos, is not Muskim in the Rishayim, not Muskim in the Achroinim, and really, the Radak in Shmuel Aleph, in the Perek Yud, Posek Aleph, which is where the Posek speaks about the Meshicha, of Shaul. And the Radak says over there that Loi hoyo ze shemen hamishcha. The Radak says the lashon pasuk is pach hashomen, that Shaul takes the pach hashomen and he anoints Shmuel takes the pach hashomen and he anoints Shaul. Loi hoyo ze shemen hamishcha. This was not the shemen hamishcha. Ki loi hoyo moishcha menu al malchay beis David. Says the Radak. Only the malchay beis David. Nimshach. Rather avol shemen aparisamoyin hoyo. The Radak says rather it was shemen aparisamoyin the same way. In other words, a later malchay is so with nimshach like Yehu. So to Shaul also nimshach only with shemen aparisamoyin. And the Radak says v'om. He quotes, really, it's our Gemara, Shol v'yehu shenimshach v'pach, this is Loshna Bavli, similar to the Yerushalmi, Shol v'yehu shenimshach v'pach, loy nimshach v'malchus, and Shol v'yehu, that they were anointed with the pach, from this flask called the pach, so therefore the malchus didn't last, long-lasting, David shlomit shenimshach v'karen, nimshach v'malchus. So the Radak understands, b'pshitos, that if Chazal tell us that there's a distinction, Shol and Yehu together, both, nimshach v'pach, and as opposed to David and Shlomit, nimshach v'karen, so therefore, the Radak on the Saints goes hand in hand with that, that in the Pach you're not going to have Shemana Mishcha, in the Pach you'll only have Shemana Parsaman, and he understands that the Pshitos, to the point that he quotes this Gemara of Nimshach of the Pach to prove that Shaul was not Nimshach b'Shemana Mishcha. And the same is true of the Alshach over there in Shmuel Aleph Perik Yud, that he also says likewise that Shaul was not Nimshach b'Shemana Mishcha, but only rather with the Shemana Parsaman. Sounds like we have a strong question on the Radak, on the Alshich, on these Meforshim who say this thing, because we have the Bitzkerov Taining, and we have the Meshach Chochmo, that Shaul and Shaul at that time, David had not yet been Nivchar at all. There was no selection yet. David had not had the Bechira. Shaul could have been the Doyle Seichem. The Meshach Chochmo tells us Shaul could possible to be the Iker King, the way the Bitzkerov tells us, and why would Shaul get excluded if, like the Bitzkerov quotes from the Mechilta, David was not yet Nivchar, and to be a king. He can be a king. He can be the king over the Gans Klal Yisrael, Lord of the Eden. What's stopping us from looking upon Shaul as being an Ikor and giving Shaul the Shemen HaMishcha? So what's the Pshat in the Radak, in the Alshich, the way that they learn not like Rashi and Tosfos and it increases, and they say that Shaul was Nimshach not with the Shemen HaMishcha, the Shemen HaParasim. I want to point out an important paramokim. Really, it's on the parallel sugya in Masech Tohoyrius. This is Hoyrius Tef Yud Aleph. The Meiri says, it's a big arichos, I'll just quote the main points with Negea to us. Now, granted, it happens to be that the Meiri over there in Hoyrius also goes like Rashi and Tosfos. The Meiri also learns that Shaul was Nimshach with Shemen HaMishcha. And he brings like that from the Rambam as well. So you have a number of Yishin that say this thing. But the Meiri has a whole arichos there. And Bekitzer Nimrod, he says like this, Re'eva Hovein Zokter. I want you to look upon this and to understand, to recognize something. Zok, the Meiri, if you look at all the psukim that speak about Shaul getting appointed as a melech and the way Shmuel speaks to him that he's getting appointed. So they said, so for Elamah, he brings a few psukim and he says, you never find in the earlier perokim, in the kapitluch that speak of the appointment of Shaul as a melech, you never find that he should be called a melech. Shpeter, later on, it speaks of the malchus of Shaul, it mentions that he's a melech, but in the kvius of Shaul, the labeling of what Shaul's malchus was, he says, we do not find that Shaul should be called a melech. Rather, the pasuk says that it says, Vashem, Agilo, Es Oizen, Shmuel, Ka'es, Moch, you'll appoint, you'll be given the Shemen HaMishcha, Shmir, well, actually, the Shemen, whatever it is, as a Nogid, as a prince over the people. The Loshen Melech is not used when the Ebershah tells us what Shaul is going to be. It's going to be Linogid. Same thing a little bit later when Shaul comes before Shmuel, it says that Hine Ho'ish Asher Amarti Elecho, the Ebershah says to Shmuel, Ze Ya. This is the person who will rule over my nation. It doesn't say he's going to be Yimloich, it says he will rule the Yad Soyer Ba'ami. The same thing when he did anoint him, it says, Meshocha Hashem al Nachlosoi Linogid, to be a prince, a leader over the people. And all these psukim, says the Meiri, they're all missing the main point. None of them speaks that Shaul is going to be appointed to be a melech, that the Ibishter says he should be a melech, and you don't have that until later on, this descriptive psukim in the later on prokin that mention that Shaul is called a melech. The zokta meiri, the pshatan that Ryan is, and the meiri says an important principle the way he understands it. Zokta meiri that in reality Shaul was only an apotropos. You know, an apotropos, a trustee or a guardian, like you have an apotropos when somebody is a katan and he owns properties. So the apotropos takes care of the properties. And the same zokta meiri beemes, it was always destined. The asidus was always a David vizaroi. They were going to be the melochim upon Klal Yisrael. Obern, until the right time comes for that, so the Ebishter appoints Shaul as a king to be an apotropos over the malchus, over the kingship, until David is going to come along. So the Meiri says, Avada, on the one hand, it's true that Shaul, since at that time David had not yet been Nivchar, so we find a couple of chedushim about Shaul's malchus. We find that Shaul is a king over Gans Klal Yisrael, not just over selected Shvotim, which later on Malchi Yisrael could never have that because the Ikar Malchus didn't belong to them. It was already David was Nivchar. Shaul was able to be king over Gans Klal Yisrael. We find that he was coronated in Yerushalayim, Zokter, which later on only the Malchi Beis David could be coronated in Yerushalayim. And the Meiri understands that likewise, that Shaul was Nimshach B'Shem and Amishchet. Zokter Oba Be'emes is that even from the earliest time, it was always the Asidus was that the Bechira was always going to go to David, and the Bechira would always be David. And once David is Nivchar, so no longer is it possible to anyone to have what Shaul had and to become coronated in Yerushalayim or Melech of Gans Klal Yisrael or to be Nimshach B'Shem and Hamishcha. We see over here in the Meiri that he says Beferish Amoyedikah Yisoid, that the Meiri understands that even Meikora, even before David is Nevchar, it was really a Vegeshtelt Meikoroi, that the king had to dafka be Mizera Yehuda, the Lashon HaMe'iri over there. We have over here in Yerushalmi, the Gemara quotes a little bit later, the Pasuk, Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda, the Gemara brings it, the Shevet, the Malchus has to be dafka Yehuda's. So, really the Me'iri understands that Shaul's Malchus, really Me'ikor was only begetter apotropos. And in Meila, it comes out from the Me'iri, that Chotch, even though the Me'iri himself personally holds, like other Rishayim, that the Mashiach of Shaul was able to be B'Shem and HaMishcha, and it was B'Shem and HaMishcha, but from this vegan, if you accept the premise, the Hanocha of the Meiri, that Shaul's only apotropos, and Meikora, he was never able to be more than that. He's not from Zera Yehuda, and it's always destined it's going to go to someone from Yehuda, it would go to David. So Meila, according to that, is that he could understand where the Radak comes from, where the Alshach comes from, Alpidar come, that they learn that Shaul was Nimshach, B'Shem and Aparasamoin. And Befrat, if you learn, like, the Pshat of the Meshach Chochmah, that it depends on whether you can Mekayim L'Doyre Seichem, that Mr. Meiri understands not like the Meshach Chochmah, that even before David was Nivchar, it would be impossible for Shaul to have the Mal because he's not Mizera Yehuda. And therefore, the Meshech Chochmah says that it was possible for Shaul to have that. Others are not learning this way, and the Meiri doesn't learn this way. Was it that the Meiri learns it was never possible? Shaul was never much more than apotropos. He was just a guardian over the Malchus. And Mela, according to that, if we go with the Yesoid of Nedoyre Seichem, the only one who gets Shem and Amishcha is the one who can Mekayim that his Malchus is for all Doyreis, we would really arrive at the Radak, at the Alshich, that Shaul was not Nimshach, but Shem and Amishcha, but rather the way they learn that Shaul was Nimshach B'Shem and Aparasamayim. The Gvuras Yitzchok here from Rabbi Yitzchok Sorotkin brings in a safek, a question from the Sefer Tzofnas Paneach, from the Rogachover. The Rogachover is a shiloh, and the Tzofnas Paneach is, the Gemara says that Melech, Ben Melech, ain't on Mashiach. That if you have a king, whose father was a king, and there's no machloikis, like the Gemara goes through, there's no machloikis and the Malchus and the succession, so then the son inherits the Malchus from his father, the king, and he does not need to get any Mashiach. The shiloh of the Tzofnas Paneach is it the pshat that there's no din Mashiach at all over such a person who's a son who inherited the Malchus and the king, and he's not Nimshach, he's not a Mashuach, and he doesn't need to be a Mashuach? Or is it the Pshat that he yarshins the Malchus, the status of Mashuach, from his father, and he's considered to be a Mashuach even without he himself having been anointed B'Shem and HaMishcha? Because their Kedusha of Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha, it automatically carries over to the son, the label of having been Nimshach carries over to the son, and mainly even without the physical act of being Mashiach, he's automatically considered to be a Mashiach. It sounds like a theoretical question, but the Rogachover points out it has a practical nafkamina lemaisa. Because the Rambam says in Klei HaMikdash in Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud, that somebody who smears Shem and Mishcha on a Melech or on a Kohen Gadol who already kvar Nimshach, who already got Nimshach, so they certainly shouldn't be getting any more Shem and Mishcha. It's a misuse of the Shem and Mishcha. But Afal Pikein, you're not going to get the Kores Asher Yiten Imenu Alzor, the Nichras Me'amov, because the Rambam says, since the Pasuk says Yiten Imenu Alzor, anymore. These people, the Melech of the King Godel, who already were Nimshach, Ein Elu Zorim Etzloy. These people are not considered to be Zorim, Klape the Shem and Mishcha, because they, Fakert, they already got the Shem and Mishcha on them. So even if he did the wrong thing, the Mashiach, them a second time, there will not be any din of a Koreth for Asher Yitim Menu Al Zor. So what's the din, says the Tzoftes Panech, what's the din over here? If you have the son of a Melech who doesn't have a personal din to be Nimshach, do you say that if somebody smears the Shem and Mishcha on him, is it in chorus on that? Or do we say no, that there's no chorus because he be'etzem has the din, the label of a Mashuach, even though he didn't personally get smeared because he carried over from the father onto him? And this is the Shiloh that the Tzoftes Panech clears. The Gvuras Yitzchok writes that you could resolve this and settle this question from a Yisoid of Reberl, the Briskirov's son, Reberl Soloveitchik. He says that Reberl was Medayek in the Lashon of Rashi in Sefer Zecharia, Rashi and Zecharia Perek Dalid. And Pasuk Yud, there's a whole mashal over there with the menorah and with the zaysim, the olive trees that are growing on the side of the menorah. A lot of this mashal is laid in the haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah and Shabbos Baloisra. So later on, a little bit later in the psukim, it speaks about the shnei b'nei hayitzhor, who ha'oimdim ala doin kol ha'or. It's a lashon pasuk. The shnei b'nei hayitzhor, the olives, the b'nei hayitzhor are actually literally the sons of the olive oil. Ha'oimdim ala doin kol ha'or, that they stand upon the Eibishter, by the Eibishter. So Rashi says, a very cryptic mevuos over there in Sefer Zecharia, Rashi says that the Shnei B'nei HaYitzhar are the Keren Kehuna U'Malchus HaNemshochem B'Shem and HaMishcha. That the B'nei HaYitzhar, those are the Meluchov, the Malchus in Klal Yisrael, and the Kehuna Gedoyla in Klal Yisrael, which are Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha, and they Oimdim on the Adoyin Kol HaOretz Levakesh Melfonov, like Rashi, to Mespal, Levakesh on the Eibishter, Lahachzir Es Gedulosam, to return the gedulah. In other words, the Mashiach should come, return, restore, return the godless to Klal Yisrael, that we should have a Malchus, and we should have a Kona Gedoyla once again. And these are called the Shnei B'nei HaYitzhar in being Mavakesh, in the context of being Mavakesh for the Mashiach. Is the Briskirov, the Reberl, the Briskirov's son, said on this as follows. Be'etzem, we have to ask a very basic question. It sounds almost a strange question. Is the Melech HaMashiach, Be'ez Hashem, that we look forward to, that we should be Zoyach the Mashiach, this Melech HaMashiach who will lead us, Lassid Lovi, he's Mizera David, Ben Achaben, is he going to need to be Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha? So the Beryl said, no, he will not need to be Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha, because we belt that he's a Ben Achaben from those who were Nimshach, from David HaMelech, and there won't be any Choylek upon his Malchus, so why should he have to be Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha, like you have the whole Gemara over here? If there won't be any Choylek, then it's automatic that the Malchus will come to him, and he will not need to be Nimshach. From Destveg and Afal Pikein, despite that, said Reberl, despite that we find that Rashi is saying that the Shnei B'nei HaYitzhar, in other words, that these are, so to speak, the Koyach of the Shem and HaMishcha, the B'nei HaYitzhar, that's the Kono Malchus, that Nimshochem B'Shem and HaMishcha, the Rashi's Loshin, and the Mevakesh that the Mashiach should come. That's a choice, it's apparent, he said, that the Mashiach is a considered to be Ke'ilu Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha, in the Loshin HaPasek, the Mashiach is labeled the Shnei B'nei HaYitzhar, even though there won't be any physical Mashiach on the Shem and HaMishcha, with the Shem and HaMishcha. And likewise, Be'etzem Zokter, the truth is, I mean, why do we call him the Mashiach? It's a very odd thing, you know. Are you calling somebody the Mashiach? We always speak of Mashiach, Mashiach. What does it mean, Mashiach? Because he's going to be a king, and the king, the din of the Melech, is to be Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha. So we call him the Melech HaMashiach. L'maisa, l'halocha l'maisa, will he need an actual Mashiach with the Shem and HaMishcha? Zokter, name. He won't need it, because he's Ben HaChaben, and he won't be any choylok upon him. So why talk is he called the Mashiach? So you see the same idea that he has a din, that Ke'ilu, he has a Shem, that he is called a Mashiach, because he in the Irish, and so to speak, inherited that label from the Elder Zayde, the ancestors that he's inheriting this Koyach from. And Meila, he's considered the Mashiach, and that's what the Gvuras Yitzchok says, that would resolve the Tzoftes Panech Shaila, that in fact, a Ben HaMelech, who automatically gets the Malchus from his father, is considered to be Ke'ilu, he was Nimshach, the Shem and HaMishcha, and he has a din of a Nimshach, and if you smear on him, you don't get any kores, Ashiyitim Menu Azor, despite the fact that there was no actual Mashiach. The MS is, I want to point out that this Shaila is already a Michas Chinuch in a couple of places. The main place is a Michas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Zayin or Ischess. Michas Chinuch has a whole suffix over there whether the Melech HaMashiach will need to be Nimshach B'Shem and HaMishcha. As strange, again, as the Shaila might be, Michas Chinuch really appears to be the first one that we know of in print that clears his Shaila. There's a Richos there. Basically, his Shaila is like this. He says it could be, Taka, that there's no need for the Shemit HaMelech HaMashiach to Minim Shach HaShem HaMashiach, there won't be any Choylik on him. And that would be an easy way to learn. But Avo Pikein, he said, it's possible that since you did have fights and Machloikasin before, many, many generations ago, and we know, of course, that Tzidkiyo was taken into captivity and was thrown off of the throne, and after that it was never fully regained in the Bayis HaSheni. So Meila, we belt that the Melech HaMashiach is inheriting the Malchus. The Melech HaMashiach HaKrishtam from Yechonio, who was deposed from the throne, also taken in captivity. So, since we know that the Melech HaMashiach is getting his koyach from somebody who generations before lost it and had the choylik al Malchusoy, and the Meila at that time, that individual, those Malchay Beis David, would have needed to be Nimshach B'Shem and Nimshach because there was a choylik on them. So you could say, Zalta Mechas Chinuch, that somebody who yashins, who inherits his Malchus from one who would have needed to be Nimshach B'Shem and Nimshach, even if there's no choylik on the descendant, Afal Pikein, he still needs to be Nimshach B'Shem and Nimshach because he can't be better than the Zayda, the elder Zayda, that is getting the Malchus from. And Meila, according to that, the Mechas Chinuch blibes with a suffix. He's in doubt about this thing that perhaps we would need to have, that the Melech HaMashiach would need the Shem and Nimshach, and this is left as a suffix by the Mechas Chinuch. So the way he has it as a suffix, it wouldn't be a given to resolve this question from the Melech HaMashiach, because Mashiach may be in one side of the Mechas Chinuch, may actually need to have an actual Mashiach b'Shem and Mishcha. We'll go through one last thing. It's Mavur over here in the Yerushalmi, and also in the parallel sugi in the Bavli, which is in Baba Basa Daf Yudalid, that the Luchois and also the Sefer Torah, which was perhaps with the Luchois and the Oron HaKodesh, the Luchois were lying down in the Oroim. According to the Ikke Girsa in the Yerushalmi, which is the Girsa Sagro and many others, it's the Yerushalmi has a little bit different understanding than the Bavli. The Yerushalmi understands the Luchois were rectangular, that they were 6x3 Tvachim each, and they were laid down in a long rectangle, the way that the Yerushalmi sets it up. All of them lying down, so to speak, on the floor of the Oroim. It's 6x3 rectangles. The Bavli, however, understand that the Luchois were square in Baba Basra. They were 6x6 Tfachim square. And the way Rashi explains it there, the Bavli understands that the Shivri Luchois were lying underneath the Luchois Shlemois. So that the Luchois Shlemois were themselves a total of 12x6, 6x6 and 6x6. And underneath them, you have the Shivri Luchois. So a bit of a machlaikis, Bavli Yerushalmi. But both Bavli and Yerushalmi agree that everything was lying down. And this is the source of a big tumult in a machloikis in the Rishainim. We have in Toisvis, in Menachas Daf Lamed Gimel, Toisvis brings down over there Rashi Shita that the mezuzah is placed on a doorway standing straight up, vertical on the doorway. And Toisvis brings down that Ibn Tam argues on this, and Ibn Tam says that Mu'umud lav derech kovoidu, that's Ibn Tam's first taina, that having a mezuzah stand up Mu'umud vertically is not derech kovoid. He brings in Moba Babasra that you bury somebody Mu'umud, that's called the Kvuras Chamoyer Kori Lo. That's like burying like a Chamoyer. So he says standing something up is not called a Derech Kovoid. And the Rebbeinu Tam says, Sefer Torah Veluchos Sheba Oroin Mushkav Veloin Mu'umad. That's what he tells. That the Sefer Torah and the Luchos, the way they were placed in the Oroin, they were placed lying down and not Mu'umad, which it seems to be clear from the Gemara. And Me'ela Zokteb, the same way should be true about how you're supposed to place a mezuzah. And that's, of course, Rebbeinu Tam's Shita and Toises over there that a mezuzah is supposed to be placed horizontally in the doorway, rather than being placed vertically like the Shitas Rashi. The Halacha, the Ramah brings down that we fear, Zach, the Ramah says actually this is the minig of the Ashkenazim. The Ramah says in the Reish Pei Tes, in Hilchos Mezuzah, that we place a mezuzah on a diagonal in order to mekayim both the Rashi and the Tosis. The Sfaradim place a mezuzah vertically like Rashi, and the Ashkenazim make this compromise. Now, in various Rishonim, in the Mordechai over there, Menachas Lamed Gimel, and others, it's brought that Rabbeinu Tam also argued on Rashi with regard to how you're supposed to place a Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh itself. And of course, he's learning from the Luchos and from the Sefer Torah that was in the Aron Kodesh. So how in our shuls are we supposed to place them? The Sefer Torah and the Oroin. So the Mordechai brings down that Rabbeinu Tam said that when I will build an Oron in the Shul, im ezke, if I'm zoicha to do that, archivoy lefia moda sefer Torah meyushav k'moisha munach po'oron. In other words, that I will be sure to have a larger, wider, bigger Oron Kodesh. I'll place the Sefer Torah lying down in the Oron the same way it was in the Oron in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a little bit different Lashon on this in the Tshuvas Radvaz in the Chelek Gimel Siman Tov Kuf Lamed, that he brings the Lashon of Ben Tam, that Ben Tam says, the way he has the Girsan, and Benin Tam's Tshuva, and Benin Tam says, V'ilu nizkarti, if I would have remembered, kesh'asisi ha'oroin hirchavtiv, when I made the oron in my shul, if I would have remembered, I would have made it wider, broader, in order to be able to lie the Sifrei Torah down. Essentially, in other words, according to him, Benin Tam actually did get around to building the oron in his shul, but he forgot about it. They said, if I would have remembered, ilu nizkarti, then I would have placed them lying down. The Radvaz dir in the Tshuva responds to this taina of Ibn Atam, and he says it's a minute kol ha'olam that nobody places a Sefer Torah lying down, and he says that really we can't learn from the luchos and the Sefer Torah the way they were placed in the oroin, because those weren't placed there for the purpose of reading from them. So therefore, you lie them down. Masha Enkein, he says that a mezuzah or a Sefer Torah which is placed in the oroin, a mezuzah is more of a theoretical thing, you can't really read a mezuzah, but it's placed there in a way that you remind yourself, it's as if you read from the mezuzah of the Yesoidos that it says there, and therefore a mezuzah is placed vertically in a way that you would be able to read it if it were unrolled. The Sefer Torah, likewise, he says, the Sefer Torah is ready to be read from, and therefore you place it vertically in the Ora in the way that you would be able to read from it. This actually works better, perhaps, the way the Radvaz was a Sfardi, and the Sfardim actually read the Sefer Torah, they place them vertically on the Bima, and they read from them. It works perhaps not as well if the Ashkenazim, that they do read from the Sefer Torah lying down. But that's what the Radvaz says, that our forum are placed in the oroin in a way that they're ready to be read, and the way that you read it from them is vertical. And b'meila, that's why you place the Sefer Torah in the oroin also vertically. It's very interesting that the Bach in Yerideya in Reish Pei Tes writes that the minhag is to place the Sefer Torah in the Oron Kodesh diagonally, the same way we place our mezuzahs by the Ashkenazim diagonally to get in something of both shittas. So we place our Sefer Torah in the Oron diagonally and the English Shanois. A shver thing that the Bach says, that where do you find that our Sefer Torah are placed diagonally? But some have suggested that b'emes, the way the Ashkenazi Sefer Torah are, as far as the Sefer Torah, they could be placed solid, and you could place them vertically straight up, which is what that's the Ikashita according to the Sfardim. They place mezuzahs vertically as well. Masha'in came according to the Ashkenazim. So our Sefer Torah anyway have to be leaned against the wall of the Aron Kodesh because they can't stand up by themselves. So maybe that might be a bit of a deher in what the Bach is saying, that the minig is like that. It comes out, in other words, according to that the Ashkenazim really do get something of the Rabbinian Tam's Shita in, even by the Sefer Torah, since we somewhat do lean the Sefer Torah in the Aron Kodesh, and we get in something of the diagonal, the Alach sign in the same manner we place the mezuzah on something of an Alach sign. The emes is, in other words, the truth of the matter is that in the dinim v'hanhogoy is chazaynish, it's brought down that the chazaynish said that we really primarily go with Rashi even in mezuzah, which is why the mezuzah is not placed at a 45 degree angle, which you see people don't, you know. He places it mostly vertically, a little bit of a diagonal, as it primarily is like Rashi. That's what the chazaynish says. And memeila, perhaps the Bach would work, you know, to have something of a diagonal or in kaidish, even though they also primarily we do place this every Torah vertically in the Aron.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.